Last week I started talking about what it meant to have a transformed mind, the results of that. Unfortunately, there was no recording because the recorder was full up. So I'll do a quick review for the benefit of those that are listening to the recording on the internet, and also a quick review for the benefit of those that weren't here last week, and a quick review for the benefit of those of you who were here last week and have forgotten what I said. All right. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to be transformed, and that word transformed in the original Greek language is the word metamorpho, from which we get our English word metamorphosis from. And whenever we talk about metamorphosis, we talk about caterpillars and butterflies. And really what Paul is reminding us here, what I think the scripture is reminding us here, is that God wants us to be radically different as Christians as caterpillars are to butterflies. See, a caterpillar goes around, crawling around on leaves, munching leaves. Its existence isn't very exciting. But when it undergoes that metamorphosis, when it undergoes that transformation, it comes out of the cocoon a butterfly, and it flies. It lives in a completely new dimension. And God wants us to live in a new dimension. He wants us to live in the spiritual realm, trusting in Him, expecting everything of God, and being those people that trust God for everything, so that when anything comes our way, we remember that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives and reigns in us, and that with Him and us, nothing is impossible. So I was encouraging people last week to think not to be caterpillars, oh, it's hopeless, but to think in the spiritual dimension, with God, all things are possible. Not to think like a caterpillar, but to think like a beautiful butterfly. And note the contrast. A caterpillar is not very nice, it's quite ugly. A butterfly is beautiful and flies. And so note the contrast there. God wants us to be transformed into His likeness. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Everything that we need for our life is already given us. We have the mind of Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ within us. With Christ in us, all things are possible. So it's not that the transformation needs to come from without, but it needs to come from within. We need to line up our hearts, our minds, with the Holy Spirit that is already within us. And just as a caterpillar is transformed from within, the wings of the caterpillar are actually contained within the caterpillar, everything that we need to be like Christ is already within us, because He lives within us by His Holy Spirit. We just need to line up our thinking, transform our thinking to line up with how the Holy Spirit thinks and what the Holy Spirit says. So, five essentials for a transformed life. We need God's word. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to be students of the word who rightly divide it, who know the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, who know the difference between God's wrath and God's grace, who knows the difference between God's law and God's mercy. We need to be people who rightly divide and rightly discern and understand the old covenant and the new covenant and allow that to make a difference in our lives. And we've got to remember that God's word is the final authority in our lives. The word of God transforms us. The word of God is life. We need to plant that within our into our hearts. We need to sow it into our hearts. Listen to the parable of the sower sermon online if you want to develop that idea. But the Holy Spirit, the word of God makes a difference in our lives. We need to meditate upon the word of God. We need to allow His word to make a difference in our lives. Well, I'm And we also need the Holy Spirit. So we need the Word of God, which is our foundation for a transformed life. This is what we're going to know what God looks like. How do we know what God looks like? We look in the Word. But we also need the Holy Spirit to help us understand what the Word of God says. I don't know how many of you can sort of identify with this, that you can read the scripture, you can read the word, and you say, whatever does that say? Whatever does that mean? This is just going over the top of my head. This isn't really getting into my heart. I don't really understand it. I don't really hear it. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand who Jesus is, and he reveals all truth. And 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this, he has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So, yes, we can be students of the word, but if we do not have the proper understanding of the word by the Holy Spirit, the word can be destructive, it can kill. So I used the example last week of people might say, they might look at the Bible and they say, right, it says in the Bible, it says that you must give. You must put 10% in the offering every week, and you must give. And if you don't, God will just allow the enemy to steal it. Yeah. And that kind of talk just puts people down. You know, it's not life. It's not life-giving. Now, so people can be like that with the Word of God, and can be very judgmental, and can be very dogmatic, and they can be very legalistic. Now, it's true that the Bible does say that we need to give, but the Holy Spirit needs to work on that word in our hearts, so that when the collection bag comes round, it's not out of, oh, I've got to put something in the offering, but it's out of joy that you put something in the offering. You can't wait for the bag to come round. So, we can be very legalistic, and we can be very negative, so the letter can kill, but also the Holy Spirit can bring life to the Word of God so that the right meaning is there applied. Okay, so next one. Okay, so five essentials for a transformed life. We only got to the verse points 1 and 2 last week, and that was a very quick summary of them. Tonight, I just want to concentrate on prayer, and we'll see how far we get. Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11:1. Deary me, I'm convinced that we are people who do not know how to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. They didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to preach a sermon. Tell us how to witness. Tell us how to live an efficient and disciplined life. No, they said, teach us to pray, because they saw prayer as important, and prayer is important for a transformed life. And prayer is really us responding to God's will, listening to his voice and responding to God's will. And when I say, boy, do people need to learn how to pray nowadays, it's because sometimes I think prayer can be taken, is more like us going to God and saying, look, I've got this plan. Bit like Dragon's Den. You ever seen that Dragon's Den program on the television? And they come before five people and say, I've got this plan and I need £50,000, and you can have 10% equity in my firm if you give me £50,000, and this is my business plan. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. It's going to be so successful that you're going to be rich. All I want is this. Now I want your stamp of approval. And sometimes we can be like that with God. We can go to him and say, I've got this plan, God. And I've got this idea. All I need is this shopping list. So we go to God with the shopping list of all that we need for our plan. And we say, what do you reckon, God? I really want you to go for it. You know, like in Dragon's Den, I'd really like you to be the one who comes on board with me. And that's not how it is. Because we shouldn't be going to God and asking him to sign off on our plans, but we should be going to God and saying, Lord, what is your will? Because God wants to speak to us, because he wants us to sign off on his plans and say, yes, Lord, I want to do what you want. And going back to that Romans 12:2 scripture, it says that our minds should be transformed so that we might know what God's perfect will is. You see, we know God's perfect will from the Word of God. We know God's perfect will from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we know God's perfect will from prayer. As we sit down with Him, as we seek His face, as we listen to what He has to say. Neither is prayer manipulating God. I've learnt a lot since I've been at the cafe. I've been at the cafe 15 years now. And I've learnt a lot about kids. And I know a lot about the kids in this village that have grown up now. Because they come into the cafe determined that they want a bar of chocolate or a bit of cake. And the mum says, no, you're not having chocolate or cake. You're having a currant tea cake and you're having milk. And you're not having Coca-Cola. Amount of arguments I've seen about not having Coca-Cola and glasses of milk or beakers of milk. And these kids throw a strop. They start throwing throwing themselves around on the floor, doing sort of spins bashing their feet and throwing their food around. In fact, dearie me, there's one family that come in at the moment, you know, and when we see them coming in the door, we say, right, oh, we're prepared for it all. Because the kids scream and holler until they get what they want. Prayer is not screaming and hollering until we get what we want. You even get these kids nowadays, I don't know whether you've come across it, it's awful, where they stop breathing. They deliberately stop breathing so that they go blue and they go faint. And they faint and they drop on the floor. And these kids have got their parents round their little finger. Goodness knows how they're going to grow up. Anyway, what I'm coming back to is that sometimes we treat God like this. I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that, and I'm demanding it now. We shout and we holler. Not that God, we need to shout at God. We shout and we holler, we make a scene, and we even say, I'm not going to eat anything until you answer my prayer. God is not manipulated. Prayer is listening to Him, seeking His will so that we can be more like Jesus. Now, I've put praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues is a good way by which we can communicate with the Spirit within, where we can ask God just to interpret the tongue that we're speaking so that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. And meditation. When we say the word meditation, sometimes we... Meditation. Isn't that what they do out in the Middle East and these Hindus and what have you? Not all meditation is bad. Christian meditation is good. Transcendental meditation, when you empty your mind of everything that you can so that the enemy can fill it up with his rubbish, or you just repeat a mantra and mantra over and over again. That's wrong. When you don't think upon the Word of God, when you don't seek His face, that's what's not right. But Christian meditation, where we meditate upon His Word. This is all part of prayer, you see. Where we meditate upon His Word, where we chew it over. So what does that say? Chew a bit more. That, what does that say? Anybody know about cows? How they've got four stomachs. I'm glad you know that, because I was going to say five stomachs. They've got four stomachs. When they get up in the morning, they chew. Oh, there's a nice bit of grass. So they go and chew that bit of grass. So they chew it for half an hour, and then they swallow it, and then they bring it back. They vomit it.
Regurgitate.
Yeah. When we vomit, I was going to do a demonstration of what happens when we vomit. But when we vomit, our sick, well, what's in our stomach ends up over the other side of the room. But the cow doesn't vomit. It sort of. Back into its stomach and goes back into another stomach, and it chews and it chews and it digests, and once it's digested, brings it back up again and digests it again, brings it back up and digests it four times. And what we do when we're meditating upon God's word, we're thinking carefully. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to enlighten the meaning of that word to us so that we're understanding the truth and allowing that truth to change us, to change our thinking. Oh, that's what it means. That's what it reveals about Jesus. I've never understood healing in this way before. I've never understood forgiveness in this way before. I've never understood grace in this way before. I've never understood... A meditation is all about... It's about praying. And sometimes, you know, I won't go too much on about praying. Otherwise, somebody might misunderstand what I say. But... You know, prayer is not just getting up in the morning and praying your 5 minutes, your 10 minutes for your dog and your neighbour and your cat and your car and anything else that's on your mind. No, I shouldn't have said that, should I? But you understand what I mean, is that it's more than just... And you say, well, I've only done 5 minutes. What else is there to pray for? Oh, dearie me, you know... Well, I'll just leave it at that. And people sort of get upset about the fact that they're not praying much, but meditation is prayer. You know, you can sit down for 10 minutes and think about something and think to yourself, well, yeah, I've had a meaningful time with God. I've had a meaningful time praying. Now, that's not to say that you can't pray for your cat or your dog or anything else like that, but I'm just saying that there is so much more to prayer than coming to God with a shopping list. We're waiting upon his word. We're listening to see what his will is. We're listening to see what he wants us to do. So prayer is important for a transformed life. Prayer is important from us being a caterpillar to us being a butterfly. It shows us what to do. It gives us a glimpse of the world that he wants us to fly in. Okay, five essentials for transformed life. We had the word, we've had the Holy Spirit, we've had prayer, and now we have, next one. Being thankful. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of Christ in God for you. It's been American Thanksgiving this week, hasn't it? Was it Thursday or whatever? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. We need to go against the grain because the world is full of doom and gloom. You get home tonight, I'm going to say the 10 o'clock news. I don't know what time the news is on. I don't watch it much nowadays because it's all miserable. Just makes you miserable. Brexit, and what Trump's done now, and what Putin's done now, and what Barney has done now, and what Boris has said, and we're all going to end up with nothing. We're all going to lose our jobs, and misery, misery, misery. And we have to go against the grain. You know, when you do listen to the news, I'll challenge you, there won't be one good thing to sort of get happy about. Anyway, we need to overcome what the world says as well, because the world says you're never going to make it. The odds are stacked against you. Not only do we have the news telling us everything that's miserable, but the world is against us. You'll never do that. You'll never be anybody. This will never happen. You'll never be healed. You'll never be forgiven. God doesn't really love you, does he? See, the odds are stacked against us. You see, even with the, you know, what Paul was saying about going into the range, you know, what's this shepherd? What's this got to do with Jesus? And, we don't do that. See, the odds are stacked against everybody. Children. Who's Jesus? Oh, doesn't he appear somewhere on an Easter card somewhere or whatever? I don't know. The odds are against us. So we need to be thankful. We have to have victory because you have victory. You are not a victim. And in this world we're never going to make it because I'm from this race or I'm from this country because of the colour of my skin, because I'm from a poor neighbourhood, because I'm a woman, because I'm a man, because of global warming, because I'm young, because I'm old. And we need to have a different mindset, which is one of misery, but one of thankfulness and of victory. Matthew Henry, I like this one, was once robbed as he walked along a highway. Afterward, he told his friends there were four things for which he gave thanks. He's just been robbed. He says, first he was grateful that he'd never been robbed before. Hallelujah. After many years of his life, this was the first time he'd been robbed. And for that he was grateful. Secondly, he said, though they took all my money, I'm glad they didn't take very much. That was something to be thankful. Thirdly, he says, though they took my money, they did not take my life. And I'm grateful for that. And finally, he suggested, I'm thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. He was thankful. He looked at everything from a thankful heart. Important scripture now. I want to show you something. This is the account in the scripture from Luke 17 of the 10 lepers. And you're familiar with that story, aren't you? That the 10 lepers came to Jesus and they'd heard about him and they came to him and they said, they all got healed and only one came back to give thanks. So let's read the story. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They stood afar off, because lepers weren't allowed to come anywhere near people. And they noticed that they probably got together because they'd heard about what Jesus was doing. So anyway, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. Because when they were healed, you see, if you were to be healed when you were lepers, you had to go and show yourself to the priest to be signed off, so they could go back into the community. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, you've probably heard this story. Hopefully you've heard this story. It makes me wonder whether you have heard this story. If you've been like that kid, if you've grown up like that kid that Paul met in the range, you might not have heard this story before. But we might have heard this story at Sunday school. I'm guessing that most of you have. And it's a sort of a message about giving thanks and how we must always remember to give thanks for what Jesus has done for us in our lives. And that's true. It's a good lesson, it's a good principle from something here. But I want you to show you something else that is the result of thankfulness. And it's very subtle that you might not even see it. Have I got a slide here? Okay. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So they were all cleansed. They were all cleansed. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. All were cleansed, only one was made whole. Only the thankful was made whole. So what is the difference between being cleansed and what is the difference between being made whole? As a result of giving thanks. Cleansing, well, you start looking at all the Greek words and you start looking at all what the commentators say. So I shall just give you a quick review of what everybody has said that I've read. When they were cleansed, they were healed. So they had leprosy. So the leprosy typically demonstrated itself by lesions on the face, on the limbs, on the arms and what have you. So it was obvious that you had leprosy. Anybody that you saw from a mile off, it was obvious that they had leprosy. They had these growths, these tumours, these horrible growths and black bits all over their face, on their arms. So when they were cleansed, you know, they were cleansed, they were clean, they had pure skin again, they've been healed. Hallelujah. 10 of them have been healed. So all 10 were cleansed, only one was whole. What does it mean to be whole? Now here's a few things that people have suggested. And rather than saying either or, what do you reckon? I'll say, I agree with all of them. So one of them is that when he was made whole, he was made complete. So leprosy, for example, typically what would happen with leprosy is that the limbs would fall off, or the digits would fall off, the fingers or the toes would fall off, the outer extremities. What would happen is the leprosy would affect the finger so that you would have no feeling, you'd burn the finger, you'd get gangrene, and it would fall off. Not very nice. So all 10 were cleaned, but the one who gave thanks was made whole. So maybe his finger grew back. Maybe his toes grew back. There was a miracle that happened here. He was made whole. He was made complete. He was restored. Whole. Not just cleansed. Whole. Another interpretation, another understanding is that this man was saved. He came into a living relationship with God. He was made whole. The point that I want to make is that when we are thankful, it encourages our faith to believe for more. See, they were just cleansed, but the thankful man had faith, thanked, and he had faith and believed for more. You see, when you thank God, what do? You get your eyes upon God, don't you? Next scripture. Here is Colossians 2:7, which really says what I've just said. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed up and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Overflowing in what? In faith with thanksgiving. What happens when we overflow in faith with thanksgiving? We are confirmed and established in the faith. And so it's almost circular. You know, it's one of those sort of upward spirals. That the more you thank God, the more you have faith in God. And the more you have faith in God, the more you receive. And the more you receive, the more you're thankful, the more you have faith in God. And you keep going up and up and up. Well, I don't believe that, Ian. Well, that's what the scripture says. That's the experience of the leper. And if you think about it, the opposite is true, because if all you do is complain and murmur and say, woo, 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 you think of something to be miserable about, and then you think of something else to be miserable about. And then once you thought about that miserable thing, you try and cheer up somebody who's miserable. You can't, because they just want to be miserable and more miserable and more miserable and go down in a downward spiral. But what I believe the scripture is encouraging us to do is to be thankful to that which we receive, which will strengthen our faith to receive more, and then keep on praising, which will, until that time that we are made whole. So I want to encourage you tonight that you can go that extra little bit, receive that extra bit more from God. Not just be healed, but be made whole. You can receive extra as we thank God in our lives. Have I explained that? Philippians 4, 6, 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You ever been to the zoo when you've tried to take a photograph of the tiger or the lion that's sat on the branch at the other side? And you say, the only trouble is that there's this fence in between, you know, one of these meshed fences. How can I take a picture of the lion when this fence is in the way? You try But the fence is so high, so the lion don't jump over the other side. So anyway, so you think. But then, if you've got one of those cameras that you can focus, you can actually focus through the mesh so that you can actually see, take a photograph of the lion on the other side. If you don't have it focused, all you see is a load of mesh. When we're thankful, what we're doing is that we're seeing through the mesh, seeing through the problems, and we're focusing upon God the other side. I want to encourage you that thinking upon God, thanking Him for what He's doing in your life, makes a difference. If you're miserable, the antidote is to thank God for something. And I challenge you that if you're miserable and you're feeling down, you just thank God for half an hour and it will make a difference.
No, it won't.
Try it. Amen. Okay. Let's just lastly look at the number 5, which is repentance. Repentance means a change of mind and direction. So when we're talking about 5 essentials for a transformed life, we're looking at the Word of God changing us. We're looking at the Holy Spirit helping us to understand the Word of God. We're looking at prayer, where we sit down and listen to what God has to say to us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. We're looking at having a thankful heart so that our faith goes in an upward spiral and we're made whole. And we're also looking at repentance. Now, it might be a negative one to finish on, but it's a good one. Repentance means a change of direction and of mind. Because when God tells you to do something, you do it. You see, there's no point sitting down and saying, oh yes, thank you, Lord, for showing me that in your word. Thank you, Lord. See, you're thanking God for His word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that has revealed the truth of that to me. I just want to praise you, Lord, you know, in prayer and thanksgiving and everything. Thank you, Jesus, for that which you've shown me. But I'm not going to do it. We fold our arms. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm going to use that. It's the illustration of the woman next door who I keep going off to Australia with, you see. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown me in your word that I should not run off with the woman next door. Thank you, Lord. It says in your word that you should remain married and not go off and commit adultery and be faithful to your spouse. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown this to me. Thank you, Lord, for your word in my heart. But there's no point me saying, well, thank you, Lord, for showing that to me and not doing anything about it. Repentance means to respond to God's word to you. Because we will never be changed unless we are obedient to what God wants us to do. We need to have ears to hear and to listen. Did you know, I don't know where I got this from, I was reading this somewhere earlier this week, but in the Hebrew word listen and obey means the same. So when we talk about he who has ears to hear, let him hear, What the Hebrews understood by that, what the people living at the time that the Bible was written understood that by that, they understood that when you heard something in that way, when you listened to something, you obeyed it at the same time. Okay, so it's a change of mind and direction. Okay, what have we got here? Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. Amen. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Thank you, Lord. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. This is the message. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under His loving correction. It's the child He loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. So when God tells you something, it's not because He wants to spoil your fun, like a lot of people think that God is out to do, to spoil your fun, to make your life a misery. No, God is out to make you into a beautiful butterfly that brings glory to his name. And his delight is in it all, because he wants the very best for you. Lastly, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Let's make sure that when God speaks to our hearts, that we respond to him. I've said all I want to say tonight, but I want to encourage us to be thankful. So we're going to sing a couple of songs right now, that as we are thankful, it will inspire our faith. It will encourage our faith. It's the word that inspires our faith. It will encourage our faith. It will strengthen our faith as we get our eyes upon Jesus. And as we get our eyes upon Jesus, our faith arises even more, so that we're not just simply healed and cleansed, but we're made whole.